The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective, Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.
A Wall Street Journal investigation finds federal officials made well-timed stock trades when the COVID-19 pandemic began. What the reporting reveals.
We saw buying of stocks and funds pick up among Treasury officials in February of 2020, which is as the administration was preparing to announce all these measures aimed at rallying the markets. So it ended up being pretty striking.
And why the U.S. is ready to keep tapping its oil reserves. Plus, what to know before purchasing an over-the-counter hearing aid. It's Wednesday, October 19th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. As we reported this morning, President Biden has confirmed that he'll continue tapping into emergency oil reserves to blunt new shocks to global oil markets. This December, the Energy Department plans to sell 15 to 180 million barrels of oil from the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Oil Reserve that had been authorized for sale back in March. If needed, Biden said he's willing to authorize more sales from the reserve, tasking energy officials to be ready for a quick response should there be supply disruptions. From the White House today, the president had a message for American oil companies.
You should not be using your profits to buy back stock or for dividends. Not now. Not while a war is raging. You should be using these record-breaking profits to increase production and refining. Invest in America for the American people. Bring down the price you charge at the pump to reflect what you pay for the product.
Oil industry critics blame Biden for lukewarm production, saying that drawing on reserves artificially lowers prices in the short term, which discourages investment in new oil production. The president said his only motivation is to ensure there is enough oil supply to meet demand for gasoline. Russian President Vladimir Putin has declared martial law in four regions of Ukraine that Moscow recently occupied: Donetsk, Luhansk, Zaporizhia, and Kherson. Security powers granted to Moscow-based local authorities include the ability to impose curfews, detentions, and restrictions on freedom of movement. That's according to a text of the law published on the government's official legal information website. The imposition of martial law in those regions, effective Thursday, comes as Ukraine has steadily gained ground in those areas and Russia has had major setbacks on the battlefield in Ukraine. The Justice Department says board members at five public companies, including Udemy and SolarWinds, resigned recently because they were simultaneously serving as directors of competing companies. Earlier this year, the DOJ signaled it would enforce a law that bars such arrangements, which it says could lead to illicit collusion. Senior officials say the department is reviewing whether other directors and companies have violated the law. And Spirit Airlines shareholders have signed off on its plans to merge with JetBlue, clearing another hurdle to a tie-up that would create the nation's fifth largest airline. Spirit and JetBlue will still have to convince federal regulators that the $3.8 billion deal won't hurt competition or lead to higher prices for consumers. The two carriers say they're aiming to close the deal in early 2024. Coming up, key takeaways from the Wall Street Journal's investigation into federal officials' stock trades when the COVID-19 pandemic began. We'll have more after the break.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high volume, high speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
A Wall Street Journal investigation found that as the coronavirus pandemic hit and throughout the course of the government's response, Washington officials traded stocks at key moments, including in January 2020 when mobilization began and as the market rescue plan was taking shape in March. For the investigation, the journal analyzed more than 31,000 financial disclosure forms for about 12,000 federal officials from 2016 to 2021. For more on the major findings of the investigation and our team's key takeaways, I'm joined now by Wall Street Journal investigative reporter Rebecca Ballhaus. Hi, Rebecca. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So, Rebecca, this was an in-depth investigation. Can you start by telling us the headline findings from your investigation? What trades did you uncover that were especially revealing or raised some key questions for you and the team?
So what we were looking for in this piece specifically was whether there was any trend that was going to stand out to us in terms of how health officials and how economic officials were trading in the early months of 2020. So we were going through these forms by hand, looking at each person, looking for sort of what kind of stocks they were trading, but also whether there were a lot of trades happening in 2020. And it's always very hard to tell sort of on that granular level whether there are these aggregate trends. And so when we stepped back after looking through all the individual forms and my colleagues ran some of the numbers on how much trading there was in January and February and March 2020, it was pretty striking. What we saw was that the Department of Health and Human Services officials sold more stock than they had on average in the previous 12 months in January of 2020, which was a period where health officials were paying a lot of attention to this virus that was spreading in China, and most of the U.S. was not paying as much attention at that point. And then we saw buying of stocks and funds pick up among Treasury officials in February of 2020, which is as the administration was preparing to announce all these measures aimed at rallying the markets. So it ended up being pretty striking.
Rebecca, can you give us some key examples of trades you found by officials that were particularly revealing?
So one of the biggest names in our story was Elaine Chao, who was Transportation Secretary under the Trump administration and is married to Mitch McConnell, who at the time was the Senate Majority Leader. And we found that in mid-March, as Mitch McConnell is leading negotiations on Capitol Hill over this major market-boosting stimulus package, she bought $600,000 in funds that rose when the stimulus package passed and the market began to lift. And so that was a really striking example of someone who, she's in the cabinet, her agency is involved in the coronavirus response, her husband is working on this bill on the Hill, she's there when Trump signs the stimulus package and he hands her and McConnell a pen, and she's someone who made investments around this time that benefited greatly from that stimulus. So that was one of the really notable examples for us. We reached out to her, and a spokesman said that she periodically adjusts her investments and funds based on financial professionals' advice. The spokesman said that her accounts are managed without her husband's consultation.
And I think the big question, Rebecca, for our audience is, do any of these findings amount to wrongdoing? Were any of these trades illegal, or if not explicitly illegal, did they raise any conflict of interest?
So that was a really interesting part of this investigation for me, because what we found is that the ethics rules in the federal government are really not set up to address these kinds of situations. What they're focused on is, number one, making sure that officials disclose all their holdings and are transparent about what they own and what they trade. But we found that the rules are much more focused on what you're trading and what you're owning, and not so much when you're trading it. So there are no rules for most agencies about whether you're allowed to trade at moments of sensitive policy-making decisions for the agency. And there are broad rules on you're not allowed to work on matters in which you have a substantial financial stake. You're not allowed to trade on inside information. But, you know, outright, there's no ban on trading while your agency is involved in a fast-moving response like this.
What did you hear from federal officials when you confronted them with the findings of this investigation? And what, if anything, did you hear from the agencies they worked for?
Agencies have stressed that they follow the rules that are set by Congress, that are set by the Office of Government Ethics, that their ethics officials look for conflicts of interest, and that they do their best to make sure that everybody is following the rules. But in this story in particular, again, because there aren't really rules that are there to address this kind of thing, this sort of pattern of selling or of buying, there was really less of a response from the agencies on that front. And from the officials, you know, some of the officials we spoke to said that they used a financial advisor, that they didn't direct those trades. Others declined to speak with us for the story. And some noted that, you know, it was made by a financial advisor for their spouse's account. But of course, federal officials are responsible for knowing what's being traded, even in their spouse's accounts. And in this case, we've seen the idea be proposed on Capitol Hill before that federal officials in the executive branch shouldn't be allowed to own individual stocks or trade individual stocks. There is a bill that was introduced on that, I believe, just this summer. So it'll be interesting to see whether what we're disclosing here and the financial reports that we've collected, whether that adds any momentum to those proposals.
I've been speaking with Wall Street Journal investigative reporter Rebecca Ballhaus. Rebecca, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, for years, hearing aids have been available by prescription for the hard of hearing. But this week, for the first time, they'll be available for purchase over the counter. According to the FDA, about 37.5 million American adults have some hearing problems, but only a fifth of those people that could benefit from using a hearing aid do. These models make better hearing more accessible for millions of people, and they're available at a cheaper price point, cutting out the cost of professional consultations. But before you run out to get an over-the-counter hearing aid for you or a loved one, our family and tech columnist Julie Jargon says you might want to get your hearing tested.
The over-the-counter hearing aids are intended to be for people with mild to moderate hearing loss. In addition, there are some hearing-related problems that might warrant a trip to the doctor. So for example, if you're having some pain or drainage from an ear, or fullness or pressure in your ear, or sudden hearing loss, or ringing in one or both of your ears, those may be reasons to seek out a doctor's input before rushing out to buy an over-the-counter hearing aid. There can be other underlying medical conditions that could be causing those problems that might need to be addressed first before the hearing loss itself is addressed.
And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.